Good morning. You've heard me in times past ask you, have you been reading your pod, the plan of the day, the Holy Word, God's Bible? In the Navy, we were required to read the pod every day, because almost always there were orders in there concerning certain groups. There are orders in this pod, God's Holy Word. And they were encouraging words too. Sometimes special services in the Navy would offer 24 tickets to a Falcons game in Atlanta, free. And there'd be a rush to pick up one of those tickets or a couple of those tickets. This offers a lot of encouraging things and gifts if we pay attention to it. So I like to emphasize, we need this. This is heavenly manna, food for the soul, the mind, and the heart. So please don't neglect reading the pod every day. God's plans of deliverance from evil. That's a good way to look at it. By the way, you know, the first Sunday of this month, we were told to set our clocks back 1 hour, and you did it. Thanksgiving afternoon, after Karen and I finished celebrating our meal, we checked our email. A friend of ours sent us an email, and this is information that you need to take into consideration. The information said, please don't forget to set your bathroom scales back 10 pounds. But now come March, you'll have to add those 10 pounds back on. Well, for some time now, Biff has been speaking these past few Sundays on the idea of the boat in Scripture. And now we come to the Sunday after Thanksgiving and the idea that we are to be thankful for the boat. What exactly is the boat? In both the Old and New Testaments, we are introduced to the idea that the boat is a way of expressing the richness of our salvation in God and the blessedness of union and fellowship with the household of faith, the community of believers who also belong to God in a unique and wonderful way. We are introduced to this concept with Noah and his family, for whom this ark of safety literally became the difference between life and death. There, the provisions and the peace of the Lord are found on a daily basis, despite all the chaos, destruction, and turmoil that's going on around them. Much later, we see the boat as a place in which Jesus taught, in which he demonstrated his power over the storms of life, in which the supernatural was not only possible, but a living reality. It was through the image of the boat that the disciples of our Lord Jesus received their calling to become fishers of men. And here, Jesus demonstrated his lordship over all. It was by means of the boat that Jesus called them to rest and refreshment after periods of great labor and weariness of body and soul. For these reasons, the boat became a type of the church, of the mystical body of Christ. You've heard the expression, we're all in the same boat, and we most literally are. We are all children of the same Father, all called to learn of him on a daily basis, to believe in his ability and rest in his gracious love, to find rest for our souls among the community of faith, and to launch forth from this place with renewed vision, excitement, and enthusiasm, and that his kingdom might be truly manifest on earth as it is in heaven, beginning with each one of us. Now, 73 years ago, I was in Navy boot camp at NTC Sampson, New York. It was situated close by Lake Seneca, one of the five finger lakes of that central part of Georgia, of New York State. We hadn't been there too long when they put us aboard a bus and took us down to Lake Seneca, to the long pier. And what we saw as we got off the boat and lined up on the pier in order, there were six wooden boats, large, and they looked heavy. Bosun's mate in charge of us told us that this was a whale boat. It was 25 feet long and 8 feet wide, all of wood, and it looked heavy. And there were oars in each one of those boats. In due course, they split us up in groups of 12, just picked us out at random. And my group of 12 was assigned to one of those boats. In due course, we went aboard it. And we were told these oars have oar locks, which means there's a pin on there that you're supposed to pick up the oar and slide it down into the socket on the gunwale, which is the upper part of the side of the boat. Well, we did that. Then the bosun's mate that was in charge of our boat said, I want you to play around with the oar there and get used to it, so do whatever you want to do. So there were 12 of us, six on the starboard side, six on the port side. Well, we played around with that. A couple of the fellows took the oar out of the oar lock, out of the socket, and tried to do it freeway. And that boat, as heavy as it was, try to row it that way would be like rowing in molasses. But the bosun's mate sat there and grinned, kind of laughed, because we were making a mess of it. Sometimes we'd go sideways, sometimes the fantail would be edging around, and that didn't work. So finally, the bosun's mate said, stop it. You others, you two, put your oarlock back in the socket. Then he told us what he was going to do. He said, I hope you've learned a lesson that left to your own devices, you created chaos. And this boat was not moving forward like it should because each one of you wanted to do your own thing. And that doesn't work, not if you want to make good use of the boat. So he told us how he was going to count rhythm, and we were going to take hold with both hands of the front part of the oar, push it forward, which means the back blade went back that way. He told us when to dip it in the water, when to pull it out of the water. And when he gave the word, we were to pull with all our might until he said, stop, bring your oars out of the water, dip them, and pull. We began to discover that we were moving. We were making progress because we worked together cooperatively in unison. It was a good lesson to learn early in my, I was 17 years old when that happened. That was a good thing to learn. When you're working with a group, it is best for all concerned and for Almighty God's benefit that we work together cooperatively in union. All of us who are members of this church have an oar that is assigned to us, and we are expected to pull our weight. For some of you, that may simply be that you pray for the church. I'll bring water the next time. Thank you. Appreciate it. So that or may be simply praying for our church, for our beloved pastor, for the staff members, for the Sunday school, for the prayer Bible studies that are conducted by the church, for the way it reaches to the members of the church, and when it reaches in ministry out to the community, when we all are pulling our individual oar in union and in cooperation, the church makes good progress. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, you read about an experience that speaks to this. Our Savior tells us, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." The Greek word for agree here is symphonesosin. I can't pronounce that too fast. Symphonesosin. It's the Greek word from which we get our English word symphony. It means to be harmonious with in the way that different members of a symphony orchestra coming from a wide variety of life experiences, looking quite different from each other, with differing interests and professions, playing a wide variety of instruments, come together to do their part to create a beautiful and harmonious whole score of music under the careful gaze and direction of the master conductor. Let's be very real here. Life is difficult. It is often messy, confusing, extremely unfair, and sometimes even brutal. But we are called to engage with it on a daily basis, to be people in the world, but not of the world. And how can we keep from being overcome by it in all of its dismaying and discouraging aspects? God has given us a most marvelous provision: life in Him and life as a member of the community of faith. On Sundays, we come apart for a time to remember that this world is not all there is, and does not have the last word, that we are children of a Heavenly Father who loves us to the extreme, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs, the eternal firstborn and beloved of the Father. That our lives, that your lives, count and matter, and that we have a high and holy calling in Him, and that we have been given countless reasons for gratitude and worship. The greatest of which is that we belong to Him, and we are all in the same boat, sharing His life and His calling together. To God be the glory, now and forevermore. Amen.